Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up, we're going to hear from a congressman about the Capitol takeover last week. We'll also hear from a former aide to Jeb Bush, a once prominent Republican. We're going to talk about the attempted violent takeover of the U.S. Capitol in just a moment. And we're also going to fundraise, too. But first, several listener comments about last Thursday and Friday's programs in which we talked about the dangerous situation in Washington, D.C. Here's what several listeners had to say.
Thanks so much for the great program, as always, with Radioactivity and WMNF. Brief message about Thursday's important show. I think you really nailed it regarding how different that protest would have been received and responded to if it had not been predominantly white group. As we think of moving forward, how we can all be a part of the solution, I guess education and culture are two things that come to mind. How can each of us in our own arenas facilitate learning and cultural events that help people appreciate folks who are different from themselves? One thing about all the events on Wednesday is it showed how decentralized our country is, and local things still have power and still matter. So WMNF and other local efforts can really make a difference in a small scale that can really add up.
This is Norman, Zephyr Hills. When times are intense like they are right now, can't we make these call-in shows two-hour format instead of 1 hour? I tried to get through on my phone for 35 minutes and could not.
Ron in West Tampa. I wanted to answer your question from Friday's show, Rob. You asked at one point, who were those who broke into the Capitol building? Well, they were rioters, they were insurrectionists, they were seditionists, and in my opinion, basically thugs and criminals. Now, and I hope they arrest every one of those people and charge them with insurrection and rioting. And we have a very, very dark moment here in our history, but we have to rise from it, rise above it, and make sure that everybody, all the way up to Trump, is charged accordingly.
My name is John. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. I don't keep up with your show day to day. I'm usually listening to archives, and so I'm listening back to like around December 18th and the 20th and those days. And there are so many references that after what's happened this past Wednesday in the Capitol are disturbing. You read an email from some clown named CM Burke who insulted you and talked about what's going to happen January 6th. It's surreal to go back and hear these things happening on as they're being talked about and announced on your show. It's a weird trip. Thanks for your show. You guys always do a great job. And the patience you have with some of those callers is amazing.
Well, those are listener comments that have come in since last Thursday and Friday. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori, joined by Sean Canal. We're going to try to raise some money here, and then we're going to hear from a local congressman about the takeover of the U.S. Capitol. We'll also hear from a once prominent Republican about the takeover. And we want to hear from you, too, as we try to raise enough money to keep WMNF going for the next few weeks. And this is a listener-sponsored radio station, so we never have underwriting from big corporations here. We rely on the goodwill of some local small businesses, and we also rely mostly on donations from you. 70% of our money comes from great people who listen and love what we do. So please make that contribution today. This hour, we'd like to hear from 30 people making a contribution. The number to call, 813-238-8001. And Sean, this is the last day of the fund drive.
That's great. It's I think people like these short fund drive formats, and we're getting some support. For example, we got a call from Deborah Ahonen from Spring Hill.
Deborah
is joining the Circle
Thank
of
you.
Friends at $5.25 a month, is getting the Peace Magnet as well. Deborah says, WMNF is a treasure to all who seek truth, compassion, and social justice, as well as information on sustainable living, health, environment, and much more. She's been a listener for 20 years, so thank you for becoming a sustaining member. Also, Stuart Stuart Block and Barbara Fling from Tampa are contributing $100. They're getting the WMNF face mask.
Oh, Barbara, thank you.
And they say, I appreciate all your work, Rob Lori. And Daryl Lease from Gibsonton is contributing $100. Daryl says, keep up the good work. So we can keep up the good work with your assistance. 70% of our operating funds come from listeners like you. So we appreciate all of those donations, and we will thank you in advance for donating if you haven't contributed yet. The number to call in is 813-238-8001. You can also go to the website, the secure WMNF website. That's WMNF.org. Or if you're on the WMNF app, you can just make a, you can hit the tip jar there or hit the support button and make your donation there. But we do need to hear that there is support for Radioactivity, Democracy Now!, health and nutrition, and sustainable living.
And the Midpoint Program, mm-hmm. which is coming up at 1 o'clock with Sean. 12 o'clock. Why do I keep saying that? Thanks to Vinny in Palm Harbor, just made a $100 contribution and says sustainable living, especially in news and public affairs, are such an asset to the community, writes Vinny. And then Anonymous, who is in Largo, just made a $200 contribution, getting that famous WMNF face mask. Thank you, Anonymous. Peter Burkhart and Diane Burkhart from Sarasota just made a $50 contribution, and they say, John Butts and I are birds of a feather. Thanks for all that John does, and thanks to Dr. Harvey, writes Peter and Diane. And then Desi Salutas from Plant City has just made an $88.50 donation, and he says, it's good to hear John Butts back on WMNF. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to hear from a local congressman, and we're also going to hear from a guy who was once high up in the Republican Party. And we're going to be talking about the attempted takeover of the U.S. Capitol last week. Stick around, and please, in this next hour, we hope to hear from 30 people if we're going to stay on track to reach the goal of $8,500 during news and public affairs. Please go online at WMNF.org. We're going to hear Florida This Week right now on 88.5 FM.
Coming up next, America's democracy came under assault this week as militant mobs invaded the U.S. Capitol and forced members of Congress to flee. After the assault, the Electoral College count was eventually held and Joe Biden recognized as the winner of the presidential election. But many Florida Congress members dissented. Our panelists are Democratic Congressman Charlie Crist, longtime Republican advisor Max Stepanovich, columnist Diane Roberts, and Lawrence Maurer of the Tampa Bay Times Capitol Bureau, right now on a special edition of Florida This Week. Welcome back. The nation's Capitol building, the heart of our democratic institutions, was overrun and invaded this week by thousands of people who declared their loyalty to one man, Donald Trump. The mob assembled Wednesday morning and heard from speaker after speaker who falsely claimed that the presidential election had been stolen. They were egged on by the president himself.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them, because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
The crowd then moved toward the U.S. Capitol, where a smaller-than-usual security force was easily overtaken by the extremists, who included QAnon supporters, neo-Nazis, and white nationalists, many waving Trump flags. Multiple nooses appeared near the Capitol on Wednesday, including one made out of cables from Associated Press camera equipment that had been stolen by the demonstrators. Once the Capitol security was breached, Vice President Mike Pence was hustled out by Secret Service and Congress shut down. The crowd occupied the Capitol. Later, they were gently removed. Congress returned that night to continue the Electoral College vote count that had been interrupted by the invasion. Florida's U.S. senators were split, with Rick Scott voting to overturn the election results and Marco Rubio voting to certify the election. All the Democrats in the House certified the results. Most Republicans did not. But in the end, after a day like no other in our lifetimes, Joe Biden was finally declared the winner of the Electoral College vote.
Among those calling for the removal of President Trump this week, Congressman Charlie Crist. He represents Florida's 13th congressional district, which covers Pinellas County from Clearwater to St. Petersburg. He was also Florida's 44th governor and previously served as the state's attorney general and education commissioner, and he served in the Florida Senate. Congressman Crist, welcome back to Florida this week. Thank you for coming on.
Rob, it's great to be with you. Thank you, sir.
Did members of Congress feel like their lives were in danger on Wednesday?
No question about it. I mean, my goodness, you know, five people have now lost their lives as a result of what happened last Wednesday. That's shocking, disappointing to say the least, and just unconscionable. I don't think any of us, Rob, could have imagined what we witnessed Wednesday, and it was horrific. And I can't wait for the new administration to come into office with Joe Biden's leadership.
You've called for the 25th Amendment to be implemented, the president be removed on Monday. As many outlets are reporting, the House will introduce articles of impeachment. I take it that you're in favor of articles of impeachment. Why do you think that Trump should be removed?
I think he's unstable. I think he did incite, as you said in your introductory piece, what happened on Wednesday in the United States Capitol. It's an amazing series of events, Rob. And we're at that point where, you know, people say it's only X number of days before he's out of office. Well, let's remember, Wednesday was only one day. And it took only one day for what we all witnessed to happen. Any more one days that he's in office is a danger to the future of America.
What's the worst? What do you fear if the president were to remain in office for the next week and a half? What's the worst he could do?
A lot. And you know, I almost don't want to speculate on what the worst could be. But I did see recently that Speaker Pelosi communicated with the head of the Joint Chiefs to try to make sure that he doesn't have the nuclear codes. That all speaks for itself.
This mob that invaded the Capitol, how would you describe the ideology that they represent?
It's hard for me to describe because it's so irrational. It's hard for me to ever describe something that I don't comprehend or understand. And when you have people that are trying to overthrow our own government, the most precious government, beacon of freedom on the face of the planet, in the history of the planet, I can't describe that in any rational way whatsoever. It's all irrational, unconscionable, and deplorable to me. It's beyond the pale.
Do you think our democracy is at risk now that you've got 20,000 or 40,000 people coming to D.C. on Wednesday doing this, a portion of them going into the Capitol, and then you've got 45% of Republicans, rank and file Republicans, saying they don't believe the election results? Is our democracy at risk?
Democracy is is always at risk. I mean, it is something that we always need to be vigilant about protecting, about cherishing, about appreciating that we have it in America. So it's always at risk, quote unquote. But it's been more at risk this past week than we've seen in probably our country's history. And so I think people take this extremely seriously, as we all should. That's why I've called for the president to be removed from office. That's why I think we are entering articles of impeachment as well, if not through the 25th Amendment being able to do this. And I think there's never been a more serious juncture in our lives, and nor a greater threat to democracy than what we've witnessed this week. From, you know, I take an oath, the president took an oath, that we would protect the United States Constitution from all enemies, foreign or domestic. Well, we saw a lot of domestic terrorism this week, and that's very sad.
And what charges would you like brought against those people that did enter the Capitol illegally?
Well, I don't know what the specific ones would be, but clearly, you know, there was an assault on the seat of democracy on the planet and in our nation's capital. And, you know, damage done, vandalism, lives were lost. So there's a whole array of different offenses that could be brought to bear here and need to be.
There's some chatter on right-wing websites right now saying that the same group of people that was there on Wednesday plan to return for the inauguration. I don't know if you've seen some of that reporting, but do you think that right now, from what we know, is the inauguration going to be a safe event?
Well, who knows? I mean, how can you establish that or state that without question? That's all kind of been thrown out. That's, of course, what we hope and we pray for, by the grace of God, that it's a safe event. Hopefully after last week, a more peaceful transition of power. I hope for that, Rob. I pray for that. That's what America deserves. That's what the world should see. And it should be a peaceful, solemn event of a new administration, thank God, coming into office.
Well, Charlie Crist, I'm glad you're safe. Thanks for coming on Florida This Week.
A pleasure, sir. Great to be with you. Thank you so much.
And we'll continue in just a moment to hear more of Florida This Week. Remember, we're fundraising here at WMNF. This is the last day. It's a short 2-day drive. The fund drive ends tonight. And during the news and public affairs this morning and early this afternoon, we want to raise $8,500. So far, we've raised $4,900. That's really good. We're a ways away from it. We're about $3,500 away from reaching the goal. And in this hour, we'd like to hear from 30 people making a phone call into the station. We hope that you will be among them. If you enjoy listening to interviews like you hear on Radioactivity, please call us at 813-238-8001 and make a contribution. Keep this program on the air. We're about to hear from a former top aide to Jeb Bush, a former top Republican in the state of Florida, a guy that used to live in Tampa. He now lives in Tallahassee. And we're going to hear him in a moment and get his thoughts about the Capitol takeover. So stick around on 88.5 FM. Sean, we're still... We had one donation right now from Dino Lato, made a $25 donation. Dino, thanks. Enjoys all the public affairs and Jeff Stewart's morning show. Dino, thank you. And making a $25 contribution. So that means that we need to hear from 29 more people this hour.
And that means you. If you haven't made a contribution yet, it's a great opportunity right now. We've got about an hour and a half of news and public affairs programming left during this fund drive. 813-238-8001 is the number to call in, but you can also make a donation on our secure website, WMNF.org, or you can donate on the WMNF smartphone app. And we're looking for people who support news and public affairs and if you're really interested in hearing interviews about people from people who were there on the Capitol, give us a call, 813-238-8001.
And thanks to a listener from Largo, Nikki McNichols, just called, made a $50 contribution. Nikki, thank you, says MNF is a shining beacon in the dark. Let's go back and hear this interview right now. We've heard from two people. We want to hear from 28 more people. Please call us at 813-238-8001. Keep this a beacon of liberty on the air. 813-238-8001. Here's more Florida This Week.
For 30 years, attorney Max Stepanovich has been a major figure in the Republican Party of Florida. He practiced law in Tallahassee, advocated for clients before the legislature, the governor, and the cabinet. He was the Florida executive director for the Reagan-Bush campaign in 1984, chief of staff for Governor Bob Martinez, and senior advisor to Jeb Bush in 1994. And he joins us right now. Max Stepanovich, great to see you. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Mac, I want to ask you about the future of the Republican Party right now. After the events of this week, I wonder what John McCain or even Jeb Bush, who's still alive, or Ronald Reagan would think about what happened this week. And what do you think the future of the party is?
Well, you don't have to guess what Jeb would think. He had a tweet this week I saw that was pretty direct and fairly harsh with respect to the president's behavior. I think I can guess pretty well what President Reagan and Senator McCain's reactions would be. You know, all of those actual Republicans who are still around. Some of them are Democrats now. Some of them are independents like me currently. Some of them are still in the party. But I'm going to argue that we are the folks that represent the tradition of the Republican Party beginning after World War II, right up until Donald Trump was elected president. And I would argue that the man who a dozen years ago was a Democrat is the actual rhino here.
Hmm. So President Trump is moving to Florida, and I think he would like to see his family stay in politics. I think he's talked about running again in 4 years.
Yeah,
what do you make of that talk?
Ivanka. Well, I think that Florida, you know, we had a dozen Congress people who objected to the Pennsylvania votes the other night after the insurrection, just solely to show obedience and loyalty to Donald Trump because he asked for it. Rick Scott did the same thing. The governor is totally a projection of Trump's tweets. The attorney general disgraced herself signing on to the lawsuit. So if Trump is going to slink away and go into exile somewhere, and he's not going to go into exile in Alabama, Florida's as good as any place else. But I'll tell you, down at Mar-a-Lago with Steve Miller and Donald Trump and Ivanka and Sidney Powell, it's going to be like a Star Wars bar.
Let me read a quote that Marco Rubio put out at the end of the week regarding the outcome of the election and regarding the violence in the Capitol. He did vote to certify the election on Wednesday night, but then he went on Friday to say this. State officials mutilated election integrity laws around the country to help Democrats, and the result is that you had millions of people who are convinced that the election wasn't fair and the outcome was not legitimate. Millions of people, and they wanted something done about it. In that statement, it seems like he's justifying what happened on Wednesday.
Well, first place, the statement is a lie. There was no significant voter fraud in the presidential election, as more than 60 lawsuits with more than 90 judges, some of them appointed by Trump, has proven. So that is a big lie. And it is disingenuous to promote a lie and then cite your lie for doing something that's wrong, which is undermining the public's confidence in election integrity in the United States of America. This is all part of a plan, on Trump's plan, and Rubio is assisting him in this. You know, after World War I, the German fascists created the stab in the back myth. And it was that the soldiers hadn't failed at the front. They'd been betrayed by socialists and Jews. This lie about the election, the lie that Marco Rubio promotes in that statement, is very much a fascist stab in the back narrative to preserve Trump's dignity and try to preserve his power in the Republican Party in American politics. It's just disgusting.
In the early 1960s, William F. Buckley took on the John Birch Society, which was kind of today's equivalent of Donald Trump, and in a series of editorials in the National Review was able to convince, I think, the majority of the Republican Party that the John Birch Society was too extreme. Where is our William F. Buckley today?
Well, I think people are going to emerge. Florida's going to be an outlier because of the reasons I cited earlier. But, you know, Trump can't take down John Thune in 2022 in South Dakota and Rob Portman in Ohio and Governor DeWine in Ohio and Larry Hogan in Maryland. He's going to break his pick on those folks. And to some extent, his power is an illusion based on fear. And as facts come out that dispel the illusion that the crossing is death, then the illusion will further dissipate. And eventually the air is going to come out of that balloon.
Max Stepanovich, great to see you. Hope you come back. Thanks for coming on Florida This Week.
Anytime, just let me know.
Our next guest is Diane Roberts. She's an eighth-generation Floridian, born and raised in Tallahassee, educated at Florida State and Oxford University in England. Her work has appeared in the New York Times, the Times of London, the Washington Post, the St. Petersburg Times, and now for the Florida Phoenix. She was a commentator on NPR for 22 years. Diane Roberts, welcome back to Florida This Week.
Great to see you.
Good to see you. And your cat, Hugo, too, by the way.
Cat Hugo, he'll probably start yelling.
So just on Friday, Common Cause of Florida has called on Governor Rick Scott and other members of the Florida congressional delegation who voted on Wednesday not to certify the results of the election. Common Cause says they should resign immediately. What do you make of that?
I think that's entirely appropriate. But given that they are not people who are characterized by the feeling of shame. I doubt it will happen. These are people who essentially have tried to undermine United States democracy. They've tried to undermine an election and tell us that it is basically a flawed, bad, illegitimate election when it's anything but. They are insurrectionists. They are the genteel version of those geniuses that invaded the Capitol, the United States Capitol, on Wednesday, and they should resign. Rick Scott should resign just on grounds of, you know, good taste. He just should resign. He's not done anything for Florida in all the years that he's been leeching off of us. But they won't resign because that's not who they are. They're not even Republicans. They're Trumpists. There are a few Republicans left, and a few of them said, this is wrong and bad, and please don't do it. But these people are complete serfs, you know, in Trump's fiefdom.
President Trump on Wednesday expressed admiration for the people that invaded the Capitol. It turns out that at least a few neo-Nazis, white nationalists, members of far-right groups that want to overthrow the government were in there taking over the Capitol. When the president expresses admiration for those people and he says he understands them, what do you make of that?
The president is a white supremacist, and he's always been a white supremacist. These guys are white supremacists, too. What they're really upset about is that black people, brown people, non-Christian people, people who weren't white men had the temerity to go out and vote and have their voices be heard. And they can't believe that Trump, who is their leader, that's the right word, is going to leave office. And I'm not surprised that Trump thought it was great, because all Trump cares about is Trump. These people are all in for Trump. He doesn't seem to care that there was one woman who died, that a policeman died, that three other people died, as one wit put it on the interwebs. That's more people than died at Benghazi. Think about it. That's our capital. That is the symbol of our democracy. And these thugs, these looters, were in there trashing it gleefully. And so, of course, Trump liked that because, you know, Trump would love for there to be basically a white supremacist dictatorship with him at the helm. Happily, I don't think that's going to happen. No thanks to certain members of Congress.
Diane Roberts, thank you for coming on Florida This Week. Great to see you and your cat, Hugo.
Great to see you, too. And Hugo, thanks you.
Governor Ron DeSantis is a strong supporter of President Trump's and has largely followed his lead as he's campaigned and served in office. He strongly condemned the violence in Washington this week. Here to talk more about the governor's actions this week is Lawrence Maurer, the Tallahassee reporter for the Tampa Bay Times and the Miami Herald Capital Bureau. Lawrence, great to have you back. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob.
Tell us a little bit more about Governor Ron DeSantis' reaction to the violence this week at the Capitol.
Well, he did come out with a statement. He said that he does not condone what happened, and kind of had echoed the same rhetoric as a lot of Republicans have. However, he did use what happened this week to introduce legislation to crack down on what he called these kinds of mobs, and which was highly controversial. This was legislation that he had talked about last year and was really targeted at the Black Lives Matter protests that we saw this summer. And, he saw this as an opportunity, basically, to introduce this legislation. And he said that this was an example of why he's pushing for this kind of legislation, because we can't tolerate this kind of destruction and mob mentality.
And has the Black Lives Matter movement commented to your paper about the latest iteration of this potential law?
Well, a lot of people are against it. Democrats have come out strongly against it, calling it, draconian, and obviously trying to target people who might disagree with the governor. Mm-hmm.
Let me play a clip of the governor earlier this week, an interaction he had with a reporter who was questioning Governor DeSantis about the rollout of the vaccine program here in the state.
We distributed vaccine to hospitals, and the hospital said, first come, first serve. If you show up, we'll do it. So they didn't use a registration system. There wasn't anything that was done, and there's a lot of demand for it. So people are going to want to go ahead and get it.
So are you saying there was no plan then from the state to make sure that senior citizens didn't wait outside overnight?
So the state is not dictating to hospitals how, we're not dictating to Carlos Montoya how he runs his operations here. That would be a total disaster. These guys are much more competent to be able to deliver healthcare services than a state government could ever be.
So, Lawrence, the Times Herald Bureau up there, you and your fellow reporters have been reporting about the problems with the vaccine rollout here in Florida. What are the problems that you're reporting about?
Well, there's probably one main problem, and that's that the people who are administering these vaccines, the health officials, department officials, and hospitals and stuff, don't really know what's going on. The governor has been extremely secretive about his plan. He released a draft plan in October that said, you know, these groups will get the vaccine in this order. But he abandoned that plan immediately, and he's not released another plan. So there's been a lot of confusion about, okay, what can we expect? Where are the vaccines going to be available? When he made the announcement the week of Christmas that, hey, on Monday, we're going to have the Monday after Christmas, we're going to have the vaccines available. He didn't tell anyone how to where the vaccines would be available. He didn't say, how people could sign up for them. There were no details at all. And so, even health departments didn't even know how many vaccines they were going to be getting, if they were going to be getting any at all.
There were a lot of complaints this week of the websites crashing as people signed up for vaccinations, that there weren't enough vaccines to go around. Some seniors had to be in their car or in line overnight. I mean, it just sounds like a disaster. But can you place that at the governor's feet, or is that because, as the governor said, it's the local people that are in charge of distributing the vaccine?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, the county health departments do report to the State Department of Health. They're the ones ultimately responsible for this. And so we've talked to a number of health officials who have just asked for more information. You need information to the public, and you need preparation. And those are the two things that seem to have fallen short here. And it's not just health officials. I mean, we just had a story this week about the Department of Corrections, who does report to the governor. And the head of the Department of Corrections has asked the governor for more information, to vaccinate people 65 and older in prisons. They don't know what the plan is. And these are basic things that that have been basic issues of communication and transparency that have been an issue since the pandemic started. This is certainly not a new new revelation for the DeSantis administration. They have been extremely secretive about how they've handled the pandemic, the decisions they've made. As you played earlier, a clip of that CNN reporter, most of the people are getting information on the vaccine rollout through these press conferences, as opposed to things in writing. Usually you'll see clear directions, written directions sent to the press, sent to, the public, that we've not seen here. You'll say something at a press conference, that's the news of the day, and people are left wondering, okay, is that it? What else do I need to know? AARP was out this week, of course, the association that represents retired people, and they've asked for more information from the governor. I mean, this is not something that's new. A lot of people are confused about what to expect, where to go to get these vaccines, where to sign up. And it's just been, confusion all around.
Well, Lawrence Maurer, we all hope it gets better. Thank you for coming on Florida This Week.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, finally, we're all feeling tension during this post-election unrest. So musician Eliza Gilkison is here. She's written a song trying to restore our spirits. Stay safe. We'll see you next week. We're all still in the face.
Well, Liza Gilkison on Florida This Week, and if you want to help us stay on the air and keep Florida This Week on the air on Mondays at 11 o'clock, we hope you'll make a contribution today to keep this independent radio station going. We have a bunch of people to thank. Of course, we're in the last day of a two-day fund drive. Thanks to Anonymous and Newport Richie, just made a $50 contribution, taking the Peace Magnet. Another anonymous person who's in North Carolina, they're in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, just made a $100 contribution. They're taking the M&F face mask. Christian Fernandez from St. Petersburg made a $31 donation. Thank you, Christian, for that nice contribution. Bruce Glassberg from Sarasota made a $35 contribution. And he's a 25-year fan of WMNF. Now, more than ever, we need the news and commentary that the station provides. Bruce, thank you. Another anonymous person is in Venice, Florida. They made a $60 contribution, and they want biodiesel. So thank you very much, Anonymous, for that. And thanks to Nina Singh from Plant City, made a $25 contribution. Was extremely frightened to see what happened in Washington, D.C., she writes. The party of law and order seems to be going further to the right and closer to fascism, and the Republican senators, whose fathers and uncles fought against fascism in World War II, are opposing the electoral vote. That's Nina. Thank you, Nina. I agree. My dad fought in World War II. He would be horrified if he were alive. And thanks to Scott Austin, who's in Holiday, Florida, just made a $120 contribution. Scott, thanks for that nice contribution. Sean, with the people that you're about about to thank, we need 14 more donations.
Yeah, these are great people who are calling in at donations at 813-238-8001. David Audette from Tampa is donating $60 and says, keep fighting the neo-Nazis. Patty Barwick from Brooksville has contributed $82.50, is getting a WMNF face mask. Patty says, great job as usual. We love you. Also, a Square Bob in Clearwater says that he's getting the two reusable grocery bags for a $120 total payment. Also, he says, I pledged the Sustainable Living Show, but had hard time finding it on the Dropbox. Thank you on the drop-down menu, but I appreciate we'll get that donation to the Sustainable Living Show. Also, Nicholas from Largo is contributing $20. He's getting a bumper sticker. Says, my dad and I have been listening to WMNF from when I was in diapers till I got accepted to college. We plan on continuing for a long time. So thank you for that, Nicholas. Also, Lawrence Stamper from St. Pete Beach, $60 contribution, getting the WMNF face mask. Loves everything that we're doing. Keep it up. And a $60 contribution from Larry King says, please procure some biodiesel fuel for Chuck's bus. It departs at 2,300 hours every Friday night. So thank you for that tip about biodiesel from Larry King.
I think that's the second time we read that, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, turns out. No, it's okay. So you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. And we're fundraising here. During the next 15 minutes or so, we'd like to hear from 15 people calling in, actually 14 people calling in. If we do that, we'll reach our goal of getting 30 people this hour. We'd like to exceed that goal a little bit. We're waiting for the first $1,000 donation during News and Public Affairs. A lot of great people have made contributions. You can tell, too, that it's a whole range of people. Some people are making $5 contributions. Some people are making $25 contributions. Some people have given us $100 or $200. There's the stray $400 contribution that's come in, but we haven't had a $1,000 donation today. So you're hearing from people with all sorts of income levels. Please make the contribution that you can afford to keep us on the air and keep this voice of free speech going. 813-238-8001.
If you support Radioactivity, it's a great call-in show, an interview show that happens every weekday at 11. This is something it's a really valuable asset on our station, and it's worth supporting. Can you make that contribution of $50 or $200 or $10 a month? We'd like to hear from you. 813-238-8001, WMNF.org, or the WMNF app.
We're entering a really dangerous time. The last few days of the Trump administration, some militants who support the president have suggested that a million gun owners who support the president should go to Washington, D.C. The mayor of Washington is saying to people that they should not go to D.C. for the inauguration because it may be a dangerous time. My conservative friends on their websites have posted that they're planning to go to Washington, D.C. for demonstrations over the next week, various days. So we don't know what's going to happen. Clearly, the far right is trying to take over the country and ignore the results of the election. So we're going to hear from a one-time Republican governor right now, Arnold Schwarzenegger from California, who's also an actor, put out this video in the last day or so. He grew up in Austria, which was part of the Nazi takeover of Europe. And he has a powerful statement about what's happening to the U.S. right now. And you're not going to hear this over on any commercial radio station that plays talk radio. You are not going to hear this anywhere else. But you are going to hear it right now on 88.5 FM. It is one of the most powerful statements that's come out since last Wednesday. Former Republican governor whose father worked with the Nazis, and Schwarzenegger reveals that in this really powerful statement. So stick around, because we're about to play it on 88.5 FM, and no other FM radio station is going to play it in its entirety except for WMNF. Please keep this radio station on the air with your contribution, 813-238-8001, and we are just 14 calls away from reaching our goal for this hour. The fund drive ends this evening, so there's one chance to support Radioactivity. Please support it now. Here's former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
As an immigrant to this country, I would like to say a few words to my fellow Americans and to our friends around the world about the events of recent days. Now, I grew up in Austria. I'm very aware of Kristallnacht, or the Night of Broken Glass. It was a night of rampage against the Jews carried out in 1938 by the Nazi equivalent of the Proud Boys. Wednesday was the day of broken glass right here in the United States. The broken glass was in the windows of the United States Capitol. But the mob did not just shatter the windows of the Capitol. They shattered the ideals we took for granted. They did not just break down the doors of the building that housed the American democracy. They trampled the very principles on which our country was founded. Now, I grew up in the ruins of a country that suffered the loss of its democracy. I was born in 1947, 2 years after the Second World War. Growing up, I was surrounded by broken men drinking away their guilt over their participation in the most evil regime in history. Not all of them were rabid anti-Semites or Nazis. Many just went along, step by step, down the road. They were the people next door. Now, I've never shared this so publicly because it is a painful memory. But my father would come home drunk once or twice a week, and he would scream and hit us and scare my mother. I did not hold him totally responsible because our neighbor was doing the same thing to his family. And so was the next neighbor over. I heard it with my own ears and saw it with my own eyes. They were in physical pain from the shrapnel in their bodies and in emotional pain from what they saw or did. It all started with lies and lies and lies and intolerance. So being from Europe, I've seen firsthand how things can spin out of control. I know there is a fear in this country and all over the world that something like this could happen right here. Now, I do not believe it is, but I do believe that we must be aware of the dire consequences of selfishness and cynicism. President Trump sought to overturn the results of an election, and of a fair election. He sought a coup by misleading people with lies. My father and our neighbors were misled also with lies, and I know where such lies lead. President Trump is a failed leader. He will go down in history as the worst president ever. The good thing is that he soon will be as irrelevant as an old tweet. But what are we to make of those elected officials who have enabled his lies and his treachery? I will remind them of what Teddy Roosevelt said. Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president. John F. Kennedy wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. A number of members of my own party, because of their own spinelessness, would never see their names in such a book, I guarantee you. They are complicit with those who carried the flag of self-righteous insurrection into the Capitol. But it did not work. Our democracy held firm. Within hours, the Senate and the House of Representatives were doing the people's business and certifying the election of President-elect Biden. What a great display of democracy. Now, I grew up Catholic. I went to church, to Catholic school. I learned the Bible and my catechism and all of this. And from those days, I remember a phrase that is relevant today, a servant's heart. It means serving something larger than yourself. See, what we need right now from our elected representatives is a public servant's heart. We need public servants that serve something larger than their own power or their own party. We need public servants who will serve higher ideals, the ideals in which this country was founded, the ideals that other countries look up to. Now, over the past few days, friends from all over the world have been calling and calling and calling me, in distraught and worried about us as a nation. One woman was in tears about America, wonderful tears of idealism about what America should be. Those tears should remind us of what America means to the world. I've told everyone who has called that as heartbreaking as all of this is, America will come back from these dark days and shine our lights once again. Now you see this sword? This is the Conan sword. Now here's the thing about swords. The more you temper a sword, the stronger it becomes. The more you pound it with a hammer and then heat it in the fire and then thrust it into the cold water and then pound it again and plunge it into the fire and into the water, and the more often you do that, the stronger it becomes. I'm not telling you all this because I want you to become an expert sword maker, but our democracy is like the steel of this sword. The more it is tempered, the stronger it becomes. Our democracy has been tempered by wars, injustices, and insurrections. I believe, as shaken as we are by the events of recent days, we will come out stronger because we now understand what can be lost. We need reforms, of course, so that this never ever happens again. We need to hold accountable the people that brought us to this unforgivable point. And we need to look past ourselves, our parties, and disagreements, and put our democracy first. And we need to heal together from the trauma of what has just happened. We need to heal not as Republicans or as Democrats, but as Americans. Now, to begin this process, no matter what your political affiliation is, I ask you to join me in saying to President-elect Biden, President-elect Biden, we wish you great success as our president. If you succeed, our nation succeeds. We support you with all our hearts as you seek to bring us together. And to those who think they can overturn the United States Constitution, know this, you will never win. President-elect Biden, we stand with you today, tomorrow, and forever in defense of our democracy from those who would threaten it. May God bless all of you, and may God bless America.
Well, that was a video put out by the actor and former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, overnight, talking about his family's experience after World War II. A powerful statement about where our country is and how to protect it from devolving further into a takeover by the far right in this country. Well, MNF is proud to provide that for you, and usually we would open up the phone lines and ask you to comment about it, but what we're doing today is we're asking people to make a contribution so we can stay on the air, and your contribution is key to keeping us independent so we can do all sorts of things that no other radio station can do. We can do talk shows about the current situation in Washington, D.C., and we could do talk shows about the current situation in Tampa or St. Petersburg or Tallahassee. When an issue comes up and it warrants a thoughtful discussion, we can open up the phone lines, and we can bring people on. We can bring on experts. We can bring on activists. We can bring on writers. We can bring on politicians. We can bring on journalists, and we have the freedom to do that because we're not locked into a format. So please help us out. Help us stay on the air. Sean, we need 13 more people to call this hour. We have about 5 minutes to go. 813-238-8001.
Yeah, if you were moved by that speech and if you were impressed or happy that your radio station would play something like that, give us a call and help to keep this station on the air. Your donations really help in going a long way toward keeping the station going. 813-238-8001. You can donate on the WMNF app or on the secure website, WMNF.org. We need to hear from supporters of Radioactivity and all the other news and public affairs midday programming. Give us a call, 813-238-8001.
And MNF has had the kind of values and programming you're hearing today for all of its history. This is not something new for us. We really do have values. And no other radio station, I think, even has a value or a mission statement like WMNF. We are committed to bringing the voices of peace and social justice to the airwaves, bringing the voices of equality to the airwaves. That's part of our mission statement. And we hope that you appreciate the fact that there is a radio station in the Tampa Bay area. Out of all the 50 local radio stations, there's one with a very bold mission statement that talks about issues that you care about. By putting on Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think it's a rousing cry for democracy. It's a rousing speech to try to rally people around democracy, but it's also to let you know that you are not alone, that there are many, many other people, thousands, tens of thousands of people have contributed to WMNF since the start. They believe in the mission of this radio station. And so please help us continue our mission by calling today, 813-238-8001. We just need 13 more phone calls this hour, and we'll be on track to reaching that $8,500 goal by 1 o'clock. We've got a great speech coming up in the next hour, and Sean Canaan is going to bring you that speech. It is an incredible, incredible rallying cry for democracy, and you'll hear it in the next hour, so stick around. But please call us right now or go online. Go to WMNF.org. Go online and make that contribution. Chris Hedges will be along in the next hour. But please make that contribution now. Help us get these last 13 donations that we need this hour. A donation of $5 is appreciated, and a donation of $1,000 is appreciated. We have yet to get a $1,000 donation during News and Public Affairs, so we hope that if you can afford it, you'll make a contribution of $1,000 by calling 813-238-8001.
Who do you count on for news and information during a time of crisis like this? We have seen almost an attempted overturn of the government, attempted anti-democratic stopping of election counting, and this is legitimately a crisis. We're hearing about things that might happen during inauguration time. Well, who do you count on? If you count on WMNF, help keep us going by calling 813-238-8001 or by going to WMNF.org. I'd like to thank Pitsy Pierce Hurwitz from St. Petersburg for a $50 contribution. Says, keep up the great reporting. Thank you. Kathy and Dave Simone from Valrico are donating $100. They're getting a face mask. They really appreciate WMNF. Ronald Smith is contributing from Thanota Sassa. $200 is getting the WMNF ball cap. Says, keep on going. William Varnell from San Antonio, Florida, donating $100. Thank you for that. Says, keep up the good job. Let's get that president out of office. That's his thoughts. Also, Mary Walters from Northport in Florida enjoys all of the programming, is contributing $50. Thank you for those donations. We need to hear from you. 813-238-8001.
Sean, we're just two calls away from reaching the goal because Sasha called from Newport Richey, made a donation of $25. Thank you. And William Bruce Spath from Tarpon Springs made a $120 contribution. He says, in light of what's going on nationally, WMNF is now more important than ever. Thanks to Deborah Swain from Tampa, just made a $50 contribution. Loves the music but needs the news, she says. Jan Simpson, thank you for your $25 contribution. And thank you very much. And also thanks to Boomer Halstead from Sarasota. Just made a $100 contribution. Thanks for the public affairs. Thank you very much. And Nerman Odkin from Clearwater. Thanks, Nerman, for making another donation to WMNF, $50, and likes the Midpoint program of Radioactivity. Sean, we're just two calls away, and we're going to get the latest news in just a second.
Yeah, that's great. If you can't get through on the phone lines, you can donate on our secure website. That's WMNF.org or the WMNF app, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa. Here's NPR News. We'll be back with a speech from Chris Hedges in 5 minutes. WMNF.